Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, on Thursday morning, we heard from head coach Mike McCarthy, his annual season-ending news conference. 2 weeks sooner than everybody was hoping he'd be giving that season ender. But a couple of bits of news to touch on here as we get started. One change to the coaching staff being announced for 2017, and that being longtime offensive assistant, associate head coach on the offensive side, Tom Clements, will not be back in 2017. His contract has expired. He's moving on to some other interests. And this is a coach who's been with McCarthy since day one, since he came in 2006 as the head coach, served as quarterback's coach, offensive coordinator, associate head coach, and Mike McCarthy very thankful for all the work that Clements put in and all the time that he gave the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, you don't see coaches, even head coach capacity, get on a run like what McCarthy has gotten on here in Green Bay, and particularly from an assistant coach capacity, too, to be able to kind of promote from within and see guys sort of rise up the ladder. Tom Clements was the poster child for that. I mean, he came in 2006 and working with Aaron Rodgers and, you know, obviously the development that they saw with him. McCarthy praised him a lot for the work that he'd had with those quarterbacks and his, you know, really being able to get them in a position that they were in throughout the course of this 11 years. And even now, as he's moved up, still how often and how frequent he really was still in that quarterback's room. A hallmark of this team, and only, I would think, one of four or five guys that were left from that original staff in 2006. Yeah. So, yeah, when McCarthy went through it, really broke it down. A lot of credit being thrown Tom Clements' way and really being able to get the Packers and building that foundation and getting to the point that they're in today.
Yeah, I think if you were to name the two coaches that have had the biggest influence on Aaron Rodgers' development into a two-time MVP and the quarterback we see, it would be Mike McCarthy and Tom Clements. Rodgers has talked many times over the years about just how close he's been with Tom and how much he appreciates all the extra work that he put in with him in the off season, you know, April, May, and June, all those months where things go on behind the scenes that that really, you know, take a player's game to another level, you might say. And Tom Clements certainly had that kind of impact on number 12.
Yeah, and also the situational offense. I think he had a lot to do with, what was it recently, the third downs. Being able to, you know, kind of game plan and scheme for those situations was really a jack of all trades when it came to that coaching staff. And even when he wasn't doing the play calling duties this year, still factored a lot into that and being able to generate ideas. So, yeah, really smart, brilliant mind when it came to the game of football, in particular that quarterback, a former CFL quarterback, Notre Dame quarterback, in his own right, very accomplished in that way. And in McCarthy, when you look at how they built this team and the direction that they wanted to take this offense, Tom Clements, very, very important to that whole picture of it and how this thing has sort of come into focus over the years.
Yeah, as far as the rest of the coaching staff, head coach Mike McCarthy, very complimentary of the job that the staff did in 2016, presented with a lot of challenges, the injuries on both sides of the ball that led to, you know, schematic changes, personnel changes, and a lot of things to adapt to there. He said he hasn't really begun the formal evaluation process of each individual assistant coach. That's something that'll begin after the Super Bowl, but really no indications that other changes are coming. And as a lot of fans, you know, they're always asking about Dom Capers and, you know, when the season ends with a game like that where the defense doesn't play well, everybody's always wondering. And Mike McCarthy was asked flat out about Dom Capers' future. And he gave, as he's done in the past, a really unwavering support of a veteran coach who he really respects and appreciates the work. And I would imagine any changes on the coaching staff would be a surprise from here on out.
Yeah, and again, we'll have to see how it works out. The coach is getting this week off. They'll come back after the Super Bowl and get back at it and obviously go through the appraisal process. And as McCarthy said, also the contracts for you know, the future, now getting that sorted out as well. But did call Capers an outstanding football coach. The thing you got to keep in mind with McCarthy, with everything that he has his hands full with the offense, and especially this past year going back to being the play caller again, it takes a veteran mind. It takes a guy with a lot of experience to handle the defensive side of that ball. And as you said, Mike, McCarthy really praising the defensive coaches for how they adapted this year, what they had to do in terms of really adjusting things. He mentioned, I mean, the two biggest important positions when it comes to defense are the pass rush and how you're covering. Both of those areas were stressed throughout the course of the season. And obviously they have a vision for championship defense. They're still trying to get towards that. Maybe didn't make it to where they want to get to this season. But, well, again, we'll have to see how this offseason kind of plays out, but certainly gave a lot of credit to Capers for what they were able to accomplish in spite of some of those adversarial and injury situations.
Yeah, you mentioned it. I mean, those are the two premier positions on defense, your pass rusher and your cornerback. And the Packers' number one pass rusher, Clay Matthews, was dealing with injuries all season long, hamstring, shoulder, you name it. And the top cornerback, Sam Shields, plays one game and unfortunately gets a concussion. And really, unfortunately for Sam Shields, still actually dealing with some concussion symptoms. And so his future very much uncertain. But with that, Wes, we got to throw it to a break. We'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkiewicz there. And Wes, I want to get back to the discussion of the defensive backfield a little bit later in the show. But first, another bit of news from McCarthy's season-ending news conference, and that is that Ty Montgomery will be staying at running back. Not only that, but to appease all the fans out there, will be changing his number into 2017 to a number that will be between 20 and 49, yep. Which is the sort of the accepted range for an actual running back in the NFL. So your thoughts on the news with Montgomery?
Well, fortunately, we got that out there, so we don't have to keep getting it in inbox every other day,
right?
With people wanting to know what the future is of number 88. So Montgomery, as McCarthy said, actually is the one that's kind of driving the bus on that. He does want to switch to a running back number and really make that evolution complete. This was really an impressive thing, though. McCarthy said, I mean, when they started toying around with the idea of using Montgomery in the backfield going back to training camp, the plan was never for him to be their starting running back. It was supposed to be something that they could work in, get a little bit more dynamic number three back, and really have a nice change of pace with James Starks and Eddie Lacy. Well, as it turns out, those two guys end up going down, Lacy for the entire season, Starks for most of it, and it ends up being Ty Montgomery that's thrown into that role. He becomes the leading rusher for the Packers this season, almost 900 total yards of offense, including his work as a receiver. So, yeah, a really dynamic football player, and now he'll get a number jersey number to coincide with that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting just to see him next year. I guess it'll be in OTAs probably when we first see him in the spring with a new jersey number. And I'm curious just how, you know, he'll go about his offseason now, knowing that he's a full-time running back. In terms of how you build the body, how you do the off-season training and whatnot. That's going to be an interesting aspect of things for him. But McCarthy also mentioning that he'd like to see Eddie Lacy come back. Now, yeah. Lacy's rookie contract has expired. He did miss the majority of the season with needing ankle surgery there. And for those wondering, you know, bringing Eddie Lacy back from IR towards the end of the season was not an option. He was not healthy enough and was not going to be able to play. But a lot to sort out here in terms of just where Lacy will be with his health and then the contract situation and all that. So we'll just have to see if number 27 is back in Green Bay, but the head coach would like to have him.
It was a promising start. I mean, you go back to how he was performing there in the first 2 months, month and a half of the season, averaging 5.1 yards per carry. That was the best start of his career and really looked pretty dynamic. I mean, he had a couple nice performances there. 100-yard game, I want to say, was that against?
Detroit.
Detroit, yeah, yes. Week 3. So, I thought Eddie Lacy looked like Eddie Lacy this year. And certainly when you take him out of the equation and then James Starks deals with first the knee injury and then ends up sustaining the concussion and that car accident later in the year, it was a much different scenario with that offense. They had to make some abrupt changes. Mike McCarthy said that too. I mean, you look at their stats and how they kind of weighed out pass to run ratio. Pretty drastic change from what they've had the last few years. Maybe not the exact balance that they wanted, but they still found a way to persevere through that. And yeah, we'll have to see exactly how all this shakes out with Lacy now and potentially what his future is in Green Bay.
Yeah, I still find it remarkable, really, that when you look back through training camp, as we talked about in the preseason, and how much the Packers offensively focused on running the ball, and Eddie Lacy right. and James Starks were such a focus in terms of establishing that ground game and kind of that tough mentality on offense, and how that had to be completely thrown out the window as the season went along. But yet, as December rolled around and the season was on the line, the Packers were as unstoppable in offense as there was in the NFL. And getting back to, you know, our first segment about the coaching staff and whatnot, it's really a credit to what Mike McCarthy and all those coaches did to get the offense back where everybody was hoping it was going to be with completely different personnel.
Yeah, and I mean, you got to give a shout-out, too, to Ben Sermons, the first-year running backs coach in Green Bay, previously with the Rams. I think it ended up being 13 or 14 different guys he had in his room throughout the course of this first year in Green Bay, former defensive linemen that were turning to fullbacks. You had Montgomery going from receiver to running back, working with Eddie Lacy to kind of try to get him back on track. A lot was put on Sermons. I know he put in a lot of extra hours to help kind of expedite that whole process, but I mean, the ends justify the means. They got to the end of the season. You had Aaron Ripkowski becoming a big part of this offense after he had carried the ball, what, six times, I want to say, in college. You had Montgomery becoming a really consistent bolt between the tackles, inside, then also kind of stretching. He looks like he can really fit the bill. I mean, we'll have to see exactly what his role will be as a running back going forward. But as McCarthy said, his secondary priority is still going to be receiver. I mean, that's an offensive weapon that they've really cultivated. And I'm sure going forward in 2017, they're going to want to take advantage of that.
Yeah, when you talk about screen passes, flare passes out of the backfield, even being the check down guy for Aaron Rodgers over the middle when, you're not necessarily a guy who's in the read of the quarterback in terms of first, second or third option, but you're the safety valve, you're the check down guy. Ty Montgomery showed he can do all of that and can pick up the blitzes and stuff. That's always a work in progress with any running back in this system, because defensive coordinators in this league are always going to come up with blitzes. Absolutely. To try to confuse guys. But really, I'm excited to see where Ty Montgomery's future lies here.
Yeah, the future's bright for him. And now, as Mike McCarthy said, in confirming that he's going to be a running back, knowing that's what the plan's going to be, we'll get a full offseason now to really, really develop in that role.
Yeah, definitely. Well, with that, we'll throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, let's go back to our discussion that we started in the first segment of the show about the defensive backfield. You talk about a challenging situation for a football team, for a coaching staff. Sam Shields, your number one cornerback, only plays one game. Your first and second round draft picks from 2015 are battling injuries off and on throughout the course of the season. The guy who ends up being your most consistent cornerback in terms of playing time and availability and also in terms of performance is an undrafted rookie from 2015 who's just in his second year, who was expected to be the number four cornerback when the season began. Just a lot of curveballs that got thrown at the Packers in the defensive backfield. They have to evaluate it, look at it all, and figure out where to proceed from here. But I know a lot of fans out there are frustrated with Demarius Randle and Quentin Rollins and their performances because they were expecting so much more. I personally, and I'm not just spouting a company line here, these are two guys who are talented. They proved it as rookies. I think if they're healthy, I think they can be who the Packers want them to be.
Well, first off, I got to correct you on one thing, Mike. The Packers didn't get thrown a curveball this year with their cornerbacks. They got thrown a gyro ball. Remember that? Whatever that was that Dice K had all those years. I mean, like, it was a knuckle curve. It was a slurve. It was just something wacky how this all unfolded. And, yeah, I think that's interesting. You know, McCarthy was asked about that and if, in a way, if they needed to have the position more well-stocked or have more experience going into the year. All offseason, we talked about how it was the deepest position on the roster. You saw what Demarius Randle did as a rookie and how he could make plays and be the ball hawk that he was. I think Quentin Rollins, although it was kind of inconsistent when he was playing, showed that he could play. Ladarius Gunter, with the length that he has, I think it showed that he belonged. The issue for them, as McCarthy alluded to, it was the continuity. It was the consistency. You were making soup, and you just kept changing the ingredients almost on a weekly basis, and it just – that isn't a really successful way to build towards something. It's not going to really help your progress to have to deal with all those different factors. They did have some consistency when you look at Morgan Burnett and obviously Micah Hyde and some of these guys, Ha Ha Clinton Dix playing over 1,100 yards for the third consecutive year. But as young football players – I think there is something to being said for being able to play, being able to build, and being able to gain that confidence. And that was just the issue with these injuries this year. Just really wasn't able to do that.
Yeah, and there's something to be said for practice as well. I know totally. Nobody wants to use injuries as an excuse, but not when guys are banged up, when they're on the injury report every week. Not only are they playing with, you know, being at less than 100%, but they're also not taking all the snaps that they would normally take in practice. They're being limited in practice. Not everybody is a Charles Woodson who right. can just skip practice for 3 days and go out there and play like a Hall of Famer. I mean, those are once-in-a-generation type players. When you're a young player especially, every practice rep matters. It counts. And the Packers were making do with what they could. But I'm with you. I go back to what we saw of Demaryius Randle and Quentin Rollins in their rookie seasons. When these guys are healthy and when they have that dose of confidence because they are healthy and they're able to make some plays, you can see the arrow is pointing right. up for these guys. And I know the fans are frustrated about what happened in the NFC Championship and some other defensive letdowns during the year, but boy, you'd be an absolute fool to kick these guys to the curb and just give up on developing players with their type of athletic ability and talent.
Unbelievably. You're right. And especially a guy like Quentin Rollins, who's been playing the position for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people, we've read a lot in the inbox, asking about Casey Hayward. The Packers not re-signing Casey Hayward last year. I'm not going to get into all that, but what I will say is Casey Hayward had 0 interceptions for the Packers secondary a year ago. He dealt with some hamstring injuries the year before that. He came out this year with the San Diego Chargers, led the league with 7 picks. Everybody talks about Casey Hayward now. What nobody's talking about is the fact that that's how quickly things can shift.
Right.
That's how quickly things can kind of get aligned. These are young football players. These are impressionable football players, and there's a lot more football to be played. And a large offseason dedicated towards making sure that those guys continue to improve now going into year 3.
Yeah, and I answered a question in our Insider Inbox column on Thursday, from a fan, another fan frustrated about Randle and Rollins and the situation in the defensive backfield, talking about they're not inspiring confidence in the fans that they can be NFL starters. Well, there was a banged-up second-year player in 2015 who wasn't inspiring a lot of confidence in the fans that he could be an NFL starter, and his name was Davante Adams.
Yeah.
The guy went out and had a dozen touchdowns and almost 1,000 yards in the regular season this year when he was healthy and his development continued into his third season. Now, I'm not saying nothing is a guarantee
right.
in this league, but that's what draft and develop is all about, and I believe that that when healthy and when playing with the type of confidence that they had as rookies, I think Randle and Rollins can be very, very solid players in this Packers
defense.
Yeah,
you can't get trapped in the moment. The average age of this team isn't 34.
Right.
It's 25. I mean, there's going to be improvement made. There's going to be strides made. You have to make sure you stay on that path. But I think we'll see how the offseason plays out. But I think there's still a lot of reason to be optimistic about that group.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, we'll throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, we've been talking off and on throughout the show about the injuries the Packers dealt with on both sides of the ball throughout 2016. Mike McCarthy was asked in his season-ending news conference, what are you going to do about it? Can you look into this somehow? Are you going to try to figure out maybe what happened? Is there something going wrong as to why the Packers are dealing with all these injuries? A couple of years ago, 2014, McCarthy changed the practice schedule, took out the Friday practice, which was normally the last one of the week, moved it to Saturday. And in 2014, the Packers had one of the healthiest years they've ever had across the board. The schedule stayed the same, 2015 and 2016, but yet far more injuries cropped up. Now, I don't know what you think. I think there is a ton of luck involved when it comes to injuries, but that's not to say that McCarthy and the Packers are not going to look into it. They have a lot of data, a lot of analytics. They're going to see if there's something that can be shifted or changed within the training routine that might help out the situation.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it, but at the end of the day, Nick Perry broke his hand.
Yeah.
TJ
Lang broke a foot.
Yeah,
you know,
Clay Matthews got torpedoed into the turf by a blindside hit.
Yeah,
I mean, there's those type of things that they're just—it's going to happen. You wish they wouldn't, but it's going to happen. I think the big thing that McCarthy took on in 2014 with the way that they've, you know, evolved the analytics department, their performance nutrition with Adam Corzine, their director of that, was kind of targeting the soft muscle injuries and you know, the hamstrings, the things that can be preventable and are attributed to exhaustion. That's something that they've done, and I think for the most part have done pretty well. There's going to be a lot of stuff they're going to look into this offseason, I'm sure. They're going to break it all down. They're going to try to make the best decision for everybody involved, but I'm kind of in the same boat with you. There's really, I think, only so much you can do. It's still the NFL. You're still going to have injuries crop up. You just hope that you get through it and you can navigate it enough to keep a bulk of your team healthy. But at the end of the day, I think McCarthy even said at the beginning of last year, I mean, the NFL average is like 2 ACL tears a year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those type of things are going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Atlanta Falcons, who just won the NFC Championship, and they're headed to the Super Bowl. They had not been to the playoffs in 4 years. They had, you know, Julio Jones, their top receiver, one of the top receivers in the league, dealt with injuries over the years. Other key players on their team had gone down when they had aspirations and hopes of going to the playoffs. The NFC Championship, at the end of the week last week leading into it, everybody from the Falcons injury report was removed. They had nobody left on it. When you're in that type of situation, you have to take advantage of it, and the Falcons did.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, too, and I don't want to get into the long debate about this, but week four bye that the Packers had for, I think, the second time in 3 years or third time in 4 years, whatever it was, that's going to challenge you as well. They had to go a long way at the end of the season, and not getting that first round bye in the playoffs pushed them even further. Things are going to have to determine. Things will have to work out this offseason, but at the end of the day, there's always going to be that coin flip. So that's how it works out.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, Wes, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.